Well, this weekend, folks, at the 11:30 Mass, we will perform the first of three scrutinies of those who are preparing for baptism at Easter and those already baptized Christian candidates who are preparing for full communion with the Catholic Church at Easter. And these scrutinies are rites for self-searching and repentance. They emphasize what is expected of all of us during Lent, namely progress in genuine self-examination, self-knowledge, through the serious examination of our lives and true repentance. That's what Lent is all about. And so our scriptures today are meant to be scriptures that are a wake-up call for us on this third Sunday of Lent, are a warning, are meant to be a scrutiny of our own hearts. Because, church, all of us, just like Moses, stand before the living God. And all that we think, say, and do is on holy ground. And so we heard St. Paul write to the letters, his letter to the first letter to the Corinthians today, where he says that Scripture is a warning for us in the experience of the people Israel. Because he said they all were under the divine cloud of God's presence. They all passed through the Red Sea. They all ate the manna, which was called the bread from heaven, and drank miraculous water from the rock. But most of them did not please God, and they ended up perishing in the wilderness. So St. Paul concludes by saying to all of us who are Christians, so let anyone who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. In other words, he's saying to us Christians that, yeah, like the people Israel, all of us are under the cloud. That is to say, we've all received the Holy Spirit. All of us have passed through the Red Sea. That is, we've all been baptized. All of us have eaten the manna and drank water from the rock. That is, we all receive the Eucharist. Yet we may not be pleasing God. So St. Paul says, be warned, don't be smug. For just as the people of Israel experienced dangers and judgments between the Red Sea and the Promised Land, so the Christian life is a probationary period of testing stretching from our baptism to our final salvation. For just as many in the Exodus generation were perished without crossing over into the Promised Land, so too, if we don't repent and pursue holiness and instead get smug, we will fail to reach our heavenly homeland. And so we hear Jesus' living words in the gospel today, which are very direct and straightforward, and he says it twice. He says, unless you repent, you will perish. That's Jesus. Don't get mad at me. Okay? Unless you repent, you will perish. Do you know elsewhere in Scripture, St. Paul counsels us in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, that we ought not to presume upon the kindness and forbearance and patience of God. Because God's kindness is offered to us not so that we can be complacent and sinful, but as Paul says, God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. And so, and so like Jesus' parable today instructs us, we too must bear the fruits of repentance. The test of our repentance is found in our daily lives. So, on the contrary, as an example of smugness and self-delusion and presumption, I know somebody who recently received a letter from somebody that was filled with lies and cruel statements and threats. And yet the person who wrote this letter signed it above their name in Christ and wrote it during Lent. And so Jesus warns against such self-delusion in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "It is not anyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the person who does the will of my Father in heaven. When the day comes, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, work many miracles in your name?' Then I shall tell them to their faces, 'I have never known you. Away from me, all evildoers.'" And so, what is the will of our Father in heaven? It is to love God with all that we are and all that we possess. It is to love our neighbor in the same way that Jesus loves us. The will of our Father in heaven is our sanctification and the sanctification of others. And what are these fruits of repentance? Well, Jesus talks about them all throughout the Gospels. Principal among those fruits of repentance is love, our growth in love. You know, John the Apostle says, if we say that we love God but we hate somebody, we're liars, he says. So principal among the fruits of repentance is that we are growing in love for others. Yes, even and especially our enemies. Also, are we growing in the fruits of a deeper humility, mortifying our self-righteousness and overinflated egos? And are we growing fruits and bearing fruits of a radical self-denial for the sake of others? Do we bear fruit in advocating for justice for those who have no voice, after the example of Jesus our Master, who was the champion of the marginalized? Another one of the fruits of repentance is a generous spirit, cheerfully giving alms, offering up our money to the Lord to support the mission of Christ's church and in charity for the poor. And the preface in our second Eucharistic prayer for reconciliation lists some important fruits of this, of repentance when we are moved by the Holy Spirit. Let's hear what some of them are. It says, enemies speaking to each other again. That's one of the fruits of repentance. Adversaries joining hands. People seeking to meet together. When hatred is overcome by love. When revenge gives way to forgiveness. And when discord is changed to mutual respect. And so, in Christ's great mercy, he gives us the season of Lent, so that we can cultivate the ground around our fig tree and fertilize it through serious examination of our lives and so bear the fruits of true repentance. Amen.